This center of Kitavon, in a sense, is the central center in terms of the identity of the Jewish people. It is the center which we actually repeat every single time that we come to reassert our identity as Jews when we sit at the Pesach Seder. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah and the Rambam define this as the only way in which one could possibly be Yotzi the Chiyuv of Haggadah on Pesach. You must say the words that are recorded here in Ki Tavo El Haaretz. Now the reason that this may be true is because the level of the Brit that is defined in this Sedra seems to be completely different than the level of the Brit on Har Sinai, which is defined or completed in Bahar and Bechukotai. As a matter of fact, the differences between them are so distinct that according to the Ramban, the different Parshiot, the Brit in Bahar and Bechukotai in one hand, and the Brit here in Ki Tavo on the other, refer to completely different eras of Jewish history. The first Brit, Bahar Bechukotai, which is the completion of the Brit on Har Sinai, refers to the period of the Beit HaMikdash HaRishon, the first temple, during which the problems that were raised in Jewish society and value systems were problems that were essentially external, in that idolatry, sexual sin, murder, these were the issues that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and in addressing those issues, the Beit HaMikdash was rebuilt. As a matter of fact, the 70 years that it took to address these issues, while whatever it was that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash HaSheni, the second temple, is nearly 2,000 years old and it still hasn't been rebuilt, is proof, according to the Gemara, that the fundamental problems are much, much deeper in the second era as opposed to the first. And so the question is, one dealing with relatively simple and straightforward issues reaches a tikkun in 70 years. The other, dealing with more fundamental and profound issues, does not reach a tikkun in nearly 2,000 years. Is there something about the nature of this break that allows us to define and to pinpoint exactly what the issue is that the Torah is demanding? Well, we certainly know that the Torah demands of us here something it never asked for before. Because whereas in the Brit of Bechukotai, all that was asked of us as a maximum was that our involvement in doing the mitzvahs Hashem should be something that we do out of our will and desire, as the Targum Yonatan says over there, Bir'utechem, out of your own will. Here the Torah demands much more. Here the Torah is telling us that unless we have reached the level of actual happiness and joy in what we're doing, we violate the Brit. For it says over here, Tachat, Hashem lo avadata Hashem elokecha, b'simcha, b'tuv leivav, because of the fact that you did not worship the Lord your God out of happiness and out of joy, this is the reason that v'avadatem toivecha, you will have to work for your enemies instead. Which implies that even if a person were to do all of the mitzvahs, but he would not do them out of simcha, b'tuv leivav, that he would then be over on this Brit. You can look at this inside in Pasuk Chof Chet Mem Zayin, chapter 28, verse 47. Now this is not just a passing mention of simcha, because as from the very beginning of the Sefer, we see that this is the main point that the Torah wishes to stress. After talking to us about Mikra Bikurim and all that it implies about Jewish identity, Arami Oved Avi, everything that we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Pasuk ends in verse 11 of chapter 26, V'samachta b'chol ha'tov asher natan lecha Hashem lokecha levitecha, that you must be happy in all of the good which has been given to you by God and to your home. In the next parasha, which discusses the din of Yidui Maaser, which you're supposed to say after the first 3 years and the second 3 years of the Shemitah cycle, when you take care of all of the things that require truma and maaserot in your possession, so you have to say this vidui, all of the things that you did right, So you talk about all the things that you drank. I gave the Trumah to the Kohen, I gave the Maaser to the Levi, I brought the Maaser Shini, I ate it in Yerushalayim, I gave it to the Ger Yatom Amana. I was careful about how I ate it, and I did everything that you said. Kol Asher Tzivitani, all of the mitzvahs that you commanded me. Now, the question is, what does that add when you say, like the way you commanded me, if it says specifically all of the things that you did? What is it adding? Says the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, it's adding very simply this, that I may have done everything, but if I wasn't happy about it, and I didn't make other people happy about it, then my vidui would be a lie. So samachti v'simachti bo is the essence of what I'm saying after all the physical things that I do. So therefore we see that when the Torah relates back, tachat asher lo avadata, as Hashem Elokecha v'simcha v'tuv leva, it is very seriously concerned for the aspect of the simcha that is involved in what you're doing, and the very fact of having done the mitzvah per se may mean nothing, and you may be a violator of the bris of Hashem, despite the fact that you are very pious. Now we need to look and to appreciate exactly what it is about the human psyche that has changed, that has enabled us today, for this brit in Kitavo, to be entirely different and to respond to a new level of demands that was never required of us before. Is there something about the parsha that tells us what has changed so that we can identify that thing within ourselves to know how it's possible to relate to life out of joy and happiness? I believe the answer to that is an unqualified yes. If you take a look at the very end of the Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu wraps it up. And he tells them, and we know this is a wrap up, for he tells them, Vatavo el amakom hazeh, and this is right at the Matir, Chavtet Vav. He says, you have come to this place. And Rashi explains this, it doesn't mean to this physical place, it means you have come so far, you have grown so much. Okay, what is the growth? Let us take a look, just two verses back. V'lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladat v'inayim lirot v'znayim l'shmoa ad hayom hazeh. The growth consists of the fact that until today you had no heart to understand, no eyes to see, and no ears to hear until today. Now, obviously, on the surface, this doesn't make much sense because clearly people understood and clearly people saw and clearly people heard at that day, way the day of Har Sinai. It says in the Pasuk that they heard, that they understood, that they appreciated. What exactly is this referring to? So there's a curious Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing something very specific here, which seems to relate back to what it is that the Sedra begins with. Moshe Rabbeinu was relating to the fact, says the Gemara, that when they had stood at Har Sinai, immediately following Maimon Har Sinai, God said, Mi yitein v'ayav v'avam zelahem, if only, who could be the one to allow them to feel forever the way that they feel today? Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, when you heard those words from me, why didn't you say, what do you mean, mi yitein? Ata titein. God, you're asking who can give it? You can give it, give it. And because you didn't say that, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I now know what kind of people you are. You are kfuye tova, people who refuse to recognize the good that they have. Now this was also mentioned way back in the beginning of the Sedra itself. Because when it says that I bring the Bikurim and I hand it over to the Kohen, and I tell the Kohen, now I want you to know something, this is a very rare thing for us to have to announce in advance of what we're doing, what it is we're about to do. So it says, Ubata ala Kohen, v'amarta elav, igarti ayom l'Hashem Elokecha, you tell the Kohen that I am here to announce to God that he indeed kept his promise to the Jewish people and brought me to this land. And this is in 26:3, way back at the beginning. Says Rashi there, that the meaning of that, this of course is based on Chazal, the meaning of that is Eini Kafui Tova. I am not the type of person who doesn't appreciate the good that is given him. And I want to make an announcement of the fact that I see it and I realize it. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be addressing the specific issue that both begins and ends the Sidra in saying you did not have the heart, the eyes, and the ears to understand, to appreciate, and to be aware of what it was that had been given to you. From here, says the Gemara, we learn that a person does not really understand what it is that's expected of him. He does not understand what his rabbi is teaching him. That Ein Adam Umeid Al Sof Da'ato Sherabo Lokoi Inish Adaite D'Rabbi. A man doesn't really understand his teacher Ad Arba'im Shnei for 40 years. How do we see this? Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Hei Amud Beit. We see this from the fact, and Rashi explains it, from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, being as he only told them this after 40 years, it's clear that he did not understand that that's what was expected of the Jews to say when God said, Mi yitein vayala bavan zelahem. So the Tosafot asks, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand, how did he expect Jewish people to have understood? Why does he tell them, you should have answered atat yitein, when it took he himself 40 years to understand what it was that God really meant for him to respond with? Answers to Tosfot a fantastic thing. He says that the difference is that since Moshe Rabbeinu had Yirat Shamayim and would not find it necessary to ask God to please give him Yirat Shamayim, it really wasn't important to Moshe. And so he didn't realize it, and it took 40 years for him to become fully aware of the implications of what it was that he was being told by his master, in this case, God himself. However, when you turn to the Jews, now they really needed this desperately, so when they heard the words, Mi yitein vayala vavam zelahem, they should have answered instantly because they did have the ability. Now the problem is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells them, God has not given you the opportunity to really understand until today. So how does Rashi understand Moshe Rabbeinu's demand of them that they should have understood it then with the very words that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them you didn't understand until today? It's that pasuk of you didn't understand until today that the Gemara brings as proof that a person cannot really understand what it is that his teacher meant for 40 years. Because the Gemara says, "Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo ram zalem Yisrael ela liachar 40 shana." Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't mention this until after 40 years, because lo natan Hashem lachem leiv ladat ad hayom hazeh, till today. It's clear, therefore, that what the Gemara seems to be saying, at least according to Rashi, is that the fact that you could have had the intellectual understanding of it before, and therefore I do have a right to demand of you that level of response, today, certainly you have to be able to see it on some other level, which is the level of Date Naim Lirot Vaz Naim Lishmoa. We're certainly not discussing the purely abstract understanding, because we know that they had abstract understanding, we know that they had physical seeing, we know that they had sensual hearing. So we're talking about something else. Then what is that something else if it's not my ability to respond by the knowledge of what I have seen? Now the way the Tosfos himself, not according to Rashi, which was the Shita of the Ri, explains, is that the Gemara was trying to prove from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell them about this until after 40 years, despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did understand it before 40 years. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I thought that the reason that you were not being responsive, Jewish people, is because you simply didn't quite understand. However, now that 40 years has passed, and now that today God has given you the ability to understand, and you're still not responding, you're not jumping down, up and down and saying, oh my God, we should have said when you told us that Moshe Atat Titein to Hashem. So now I understand that the real problem is that you guys simply don't want to be thankful to God and appreciate what it is that He can do for you. So, what exactly does this mean? Now, there's another problem. The other problem is that whereas we've identified on the one level the simcha, the tuv levav, the joy in the doing of the mitzvot as being the central item that is demanded of us here throughout the horrors that has been described as the nature of the tochacha, the brit, which we have to make with Hashem. The problem is that Moshe Rabbeinu sums up the demands that are being made on Klal Yisrael very different. And what he says is, he himself summarizes what it is that is being demanded of us. And he says, if you take a look now in 28, Pasuk 58. That's Chavchet Nunchet. Im lo tishmor la'asot et kol divrei ha'tara hazot, ha'ktuvim ba'sefer hazeh. If you do not keep all of the words of the Torah that are written in this book, lira et Hashem anichbad v'anora hazeh et Hashem elokecha, to fear this great and terrifying name, Hashem elokecha, then v'yipla Hashem et makotcha v'et makot zarecha, the things that will happen to you will be awesome and mind-boggling. And that basically sums it up. The problem is, of course, that if Moshe Rabbeinu is stressing that the main response and relationship to the mitzvahs that are written in the Sefer Torah is that we are to fear God, or even to be in awe of God, that certainly is not stressing the issue of simcha v'tuv levav. It may not be a contradiction, but it certainly seems to be an opposite tack. After all, I mean, the Rambam contrasts the way in which a person responds to the mitzvahs out of fear and the way that a person responds to the mitzvahs out of love. And he tells us at the end of Hilchot Teshuvah in the 10th parak that a person should never approach the mitzvahs of the Torah and say that I am doing these mitzvot because I desire Olam Haba, or because I am afraid of what will happen to me if I don't do the mitzvot, or anything like that. Instead, the person's drive has to come from the very love and joy involved in the mitzvot. So how can we, on the one hand, talk about simcha, and on the other hand, talk about the essence, the summary, is entirely yirah? And mind you, the Rabbeinu Bechai discusses how much this is essence and summary, because he brings many other sources in which we see this indeed as the essence of everything. For instance, Koheles, in completing his book, ends with the words Sof Tavar Kol Nishma Esolakim Yiravitz Matzvasav Shmor Kise Kol Adam. That the bottom line is, says Koheles, if you want me to sum it all up, the important thing is that a man must fear. Many, many Gemaras seem to indicate precisely the same idea. So the Gemara says, Lo bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Olam HaOla Kedei Shiyirhu Milpanav. The world was created only so that people should learn to fear Hashem. This comes from the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Or in Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolomo Ela Yirat Shamayim Bilvad. The only thing that God has in this world is Yirat Shamayim. Where it says, Ma Hashem Elokech Hashoel Mimach Ki'im Lira. The only thing that God desires is that you shall fear Him. For Hein Yirat Hashem Yichochma, only Yirat is the thing that God desires, and so on and so forth. So it's clearly not a separate and minor thing that Moshe Rabbeinu raises over here as a problem. Instead, we are dealing with the ultimate question: what's it all about? What is it for? And indeed, if you don't have Yirat and your relationship to these mitzvot, then all of these terrible things will happen to you. But you said before the reason that these terrible things happen to us is because we don't have simcha, and we don't have a sense of tuv leva, deep down fulfillment and happiness. How do we understand this? You know, what's really odd is that if you take a look in the Rambam quotes this unusual pasuk, which talks about God in terms that we don't usually find him discussed, he is a nichbad v'nora. For some reason, we're going to describe God as being nichbad, weighty, respectful, and nora, and awesome. Now, there is a place where the Rambam actually paraphrases those words and uses them in defining a very important mitzvah. The Rambam says, in the second parak of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Ha'el ha'nichbad v'ha'nora hazeh, this very weighty, respectful, and awesome God, mitzvah la'avov u'yira'ah oto, it is a mitzvah to love him and to fear him. In other words, the Rambam connects the words in the Sedra, which define God in this unusual way, with precisely the two issues that we thought for a moment were at loggerheads to some extent, and that is both Ahava and Yirah. Most unusual. The only thing is that he does make two very important changes. You will notice that over here, we not only refer to God in an unusual fashion in calling him Anichbad Vahanora, we refer to him in a very unusual fashion in that we do not call him at all with the word God. Instead, we call him for the first time Hashem. We actually refer to God as Hashem. He-shin-men. God never refers to himself as Hashem, for heaven's sakes. It's all very nice to use it as a replacement for the shame Hashem so that we shouldn't come to say it. But is this nothing other than one of these modern popular books that writes the shame of Hashem as Hashem every time? So that you begin to think there's really somebody called Hashem? What does it mean? So in the Pasuk it says, Mir'at Hashem HaNichbad V'Nora Hazeh. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, Ha'el HaNichbad V'Nora Hazeh. Directly, this God. The other most incredible change that the Rambam brings is that whereas Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the Nichbad and Nora in terms of Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot HaKtuvim BaSefer Hazeh, very, very specifically, all of the words of the Torah as they appear written in this specific book. The Rambam goes out of his way to say the most outrageous thing, in which he ignores the book of the Torah totally. For the Rambam answers, what indeed is the approach to love and to fear this God who is Nichbad Vanora? Believe it or not, the Rambam says the way to do it is to study science and history. A person must learn to appreciate the incredible aspects of nature and the marvelous things that have happened over the course of human history. Is this really the solution? That a person should be mitbonen b'ma'asav u'bru'av anitlein? A person should come to recognize the acts and the creation, the created beings that Hashem has made, and that is the way in which we come to love and fear, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, no, what love, what fear at least refers to, is to be shomer all of the mitzvahs as they appear in the Torah. But what is happening here? Why does the Rambam do these changes? You know what's odd? Is that the Rambam does indeed relate the nature of the mitzvahs as they appear, precisely as they appear in the Sefer Torah, to the concept of Hashem, just not to the concept of Ha'el. And where is that? Well, there's another place in which we refer to God as Hashem, invariably. And that is, as the Rambam himself mentions, in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, at the opening of the fifth parak, Kol Beit Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. The idea there is that we must bring Kiddusha, avoid Chilul of the shame of Hashem rather than of God Himself. Now you'll say that obviously in that context it makes perfectly good sense, because what we want over there is in essence a defense of God's reputation, His shame, not of His essence or His being. I don't go out to be Mechalel God. I would only cause a chilul in terms of people's vision and understanding of what it means for God to be in the world, to me. It's His reputation that's at stake, His name. But the Rambam apparently doesn't see it that way at all, because the Rambam again uses the idea of Hashem HaGadol, for the first time discusses shame, and what's more, instead of what we would have assumed, that when we deal with reputation, then indeed we would deal with the more generalized expressions of God in the universe, such as perhaps science and history and decency and the way that people act, rather than the specific mitzvahs as they appear in the Sefer Torah. Whereas if we were dealing with the issue of the specific mitzvah and ava of Yira, then we would require an involvement in the Torah. The Rambam is consistent in that he's consistently reversed everything that we would have believed. When it came before to describing what it is that a person must do in order to achieve Ahava and Yira, there he discusses not the mitzvahs of the Torah. But when it comes to describe how it is that the reputation of God is affected, there he discusses, amazingly, a completely new understanding of what the meaning of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is, and he tells us in no uncertain terms that public relations has absolutely nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. And that the common apprehension that if a religious Jew acts in a way where someone will say, ugh, how can somebody who claims to be religious act that way? People believe that that is a Chilul Hashem. Says the Rambam, that is not a Chilul Hashem. What's more, the fact that someone who is a religious Jew would do mitzvahs, you know, or would do good deeds, let us say, would act honorably in business and so on, that is a Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam says in no uncertain terms, that is not a Kiddush Hashem. Now let us examine what the Rambam says and how unbelievably different it is from our preconceived notions of what the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, of Kiddush Hashem would be. Says the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Halacha Yud, number 10. Kol ha'over midato v'lo ones al achat mikol mitzvot amurot b'Torah b'sha'at nefesh la'achis, harei zeh mechalel et Hashem. Somebody who violates out of his own will one of the mitzvot that are given in the Torah, and he does this out of viciousness, to express the desire to anger God, harei zeh mechalel et Hashem, such an individual has been mechalel Hashem. V'im avar b'yatzara mi'Yisrael harei zeh chilel et Hashem b'rabim, and if he does this avera in front of 10 Jews, he was mechalel Hashem publicly. V'chein kol ha'choresh mi'avera, somebody who avoids sinning or se mitzvah, or does one of the mitzvot, lo mipnei davar v'olam, for no other reason, lo pachad, lo yira, lo levakesh kavod, ela mipnei ha'borei baruch hu, he does it only because of the Creator, that person harei zeh mikadesh et Hashem, such a person has been mikadesh, ashamed of Hashem. This is rather surprising. It means that the Rambam sees Kiddush and Chilul Hashem only in the context of the mitzvot Hashem, mikol mitzvot amarot b'Torah, either in terms of being over on that mitzvah, or in terms of being mekayim that mitzvah. But as purely a public relations issue, whether I act in a way that people appreciate or do not appreciate, Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem has nothing to do with that. An indication of how true this is can be seen also in Hilchot Teshuvah, the Rambam. If we look in Hilchot Teshuvah, in the first parak, the fourth halakha, The Rambam lists there the four levels of kapara that would be required. The lowest level, if a person is over on a mitzvah aseh, let's say he doesn't read Kriyat Shema. The moment that he does teshuvah, he gets mechila. If a person was over on a lota aseh, and he actively does something, then that action requires not only teshuvah, but Yom HaKippurim in order to get a kapara. If he does something which involved a visur karet or mita, in which what he did was so terrible that it left an impact on him and made him non-viable, and that he would die young if he does nothing about this, then he requires teshuvah, Yom HaKippurim, and yisurin, and troubles, and pain. And then the Rambam comes to list the famous fourth category, which we are all prejudiced to believe. The fourth category is someone who is mechalel shem shamayim, and there is no kapara on chilul Hashem until death. As it says, im yechupar ha'avon hazeh lachem atimutu. And therefore you would expect that the fourth level of kapara would address someone who was over on the isser of chilul Hashem or kiddush Hashem. The Rambam says nothing of the sort. Instead, the Rambam says, Bamed Dvarim Amorim, I will not introduce to you now a fourth level of required kapara in terms of another level of mitzvah that is more chamur, that is more weighty than the other mitzvot. Not at all. Instead, I will only tell you a clause to the previous three ideas. Bamed Dvarim Amorim, and under what circumstances does it apply that the way in which one attains kapara of either the Kriyat Shema, the Lav Shiesh Komita Bekaret, under what circumstances are the aforementioned kaparot sufficient, be they Tshuva, or Teshuva and Yom Kippur, or Teshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin, under what circumstances are they sufficient? B'shaloh Chilel Et Hashem B'sha'a She'avar, where he was not Mechal of Hashem at the time that he did those aforementioned things. But if he did not read Kriyat Shema, and in doing so he was Mechal El Hashem, if he did a lota, say he ate a non-kosher hatar, and in doing so he was Mechal El Hashem, people saw him, or if he did a Chilul Hashem when he did the Yisur Karet, he was Mechal El Shabbat, either he did it la'achis, publicly or privately, but he did it in order to make the point, then such a person will not get kapara until he dies. So again, the Rambam is stressing, Chilul Hashem is not a function of the way people look at it. Chilul Hashem is rather to be dealt with only the way in which we view the mitzvah per se, rather than the way in which you are behaving. That's not the point. But interestingly enough, the Rambam does tickle our interest in presenting us with another din of Chilul Hashem, which seems to relate indeed to the public relations aspect of Chilul Hashem. He says, V'yesh dvarim achirim, now there are other things, Shehin bichlal Chilul Hashem. They could be viewed as being included under the general category of Chilul Hashem. But with one condition. The stipulation is, Bahu shi'aseh otam adam gadol b'Torah u'mefursam b'chassidut. That would only apply if the individual who did such things were a person who was actually great in Torah, and furthermore he was famous for his chassidut, meaning for doing more than is required by the actual letter of the law. And that is, if he does something, shehabriot merananim acharav bishvilam, that people talk about him with disapproval. V'af al pi she'inan averot, note the stress again on the reality of the avera, even though what he did was not technically speaking an avera, so that the only thing that seems to be wrong is PR, nonetheless, ha'rezeh chilel et Hashem. Such a person is mechalel et Hashem. And, what is more, if he acts in such a way that he treats people decently, does his business out of meticulous honesty, is careful in the people that he associates with,
is seen at all times being involved in life in a way which is intelligent, which is fulfilling, which is real, such an individual, as long, says the Rambam, as he is not weird and doesn't act totally different than normal human beings, so that people love him, desire to be like him, such an individual has also been Mikadesh Hashem. It does not, however, apply to anyone who is not truly a Gadol BaTorah and truly Mufursam B'Chassidut, truly famous for his incredible level of human development. And therefore, that cannot be a matter of public relations. Rambam, therefore, seems to be doing precisely what we have viewed him as doing, reversing things on us, taking things out of context, using what Moshe Rabbeinu insists should be the source of our yira as something that relates only to the Shem, and that is in terms of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, whereas the things that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to, which is yira and not Kiddush Hashem, as Shem, Moshe Rabbeinu says it, the Rambam reverses it to be called Kel, or God, and he relegates Shem to issues of Kiddush Hashem. Another interesting problem in the Rambam is that if we look at his words once again, because he saw the Torah as they apply to Chilul Hashem, you see that he throws in something that doesn't seem to make very much sense. In Halacha Yud, where he explains to us that Chilul Hashem revolves around doing one of the mitzvahs of Torah out of just an evil heart in order to get God angry, as Mechalel Hashem, he says, ulefichach ne'amar b'shvuat sheker, and this is why it says about someone who swears falsely, v'chilalta Hashem elokecha ani Hashem, that in this you are mechalel the shame of Hashem. Now that's a little difficult to understand. The man is swearing falsely because he doesn't want to have to pay $1 million in a legal suit, or whatever other reason he's swearing falsely. It certainly is not la'achid in order to get God angry. Now how does the Rambam bring a proof to his definition of Chilul Hashem from what appears by Shvuat Sheker in terms of Chilalta Hashem Elokecha, which is clearly not an accurate example of what it is he's trying to teach? And I think that in this we may have found the key to actually understanding the entire sukkah. I think that the Rambam is identifying to us precisely what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu had seen when he said, Lo natan Hashem lechem lev ladat. You may indeed have had an intellectual perception, as Rashi explains it, and you should have had. You may have had a sensual perception through your ears and through your eyes, but something is wrong. What precisely is wrong? I think the answer is simple. It is indeed perception. It's simply a perception of the wrong reality. The meaning of the word nichbad and nora, indeed the very meaning of the word shame, is the expression of a thing's existence within reality. The difference between the existence of a thing and its shame is what it means, what is the relevance of its existence within the reality in which I live. And it's precisely for this reason that people will relate more importantly to the shame of a thing than to the reality of the thing. For instance, a person will stick up, let us say, for the honor of his father or the honor of his teacher, or for the honor and reality of the ideals for which he's willing to give his life, more even than he may, or more than the individual for whom he is sticking up, would stick up for himself in his own personal response to an insult. This we find very often. This is really part of our whole psychology. It bothers me the way people look, the way people debase, the way people degrade what I feel is important, more than the way that they may even physically hurt the very person that I'm sticking up for. Well, this is exactly what the Shem Hashem is. The Pasuk, as Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining it, the Pasuk, is that in order for you to understand Yirah, you must recognize that the Shem of Hashem, His expression within the Bria, is Nichbad and Nora. It is weighty, it is demanding, it is there, it is non-compromisable. It defines ultimate reality. That's the only thing that you can have in Europe. Therefore, says the Rambam, it really doesn't matter to us in terms of Kiddush Hashem or Chilal Hashem whether people believe that you are a good public relations manager for God. What is important is only reality. The only reality that we know are the mitzvot Hashem. And in doing those mitzvot, it is clear that they mean something to you, not because God has arbitrarily told you to do them, but you recognize that the Ratzon of Hashem is the final arbiter of existence and of reality. And therefore, it means everything to me, your Mekadosh Hashem. But if you look at those very same mitzvot, and to you, they do not reflect reality. They are irrelevant. And at that moment, I have been Mechalel Hashem. But the fact that I, as an individual, who does not know how to address reality, the individual who sometimes does mitzvot and sometimes doesn't do mitzvot and has other things on his mind, like his belly and his desires and his want to sleep and to eat and so on, for some goy or some Jew to come along and say, aha, look how a religious Jew lives. My response to such a person is simply to turn around and to say, excuse me, I'm nothing but a human being like you who's attempting to do what he can in responding to the fact that God has told him things. I never pretended, nor could anybody be so foolish as to believe that my existence accurately reflects the relevance of the mitzvah Hashem to the world. Now that's precisely as true as it is true that if I see a Catholic acting in a particularly fine way, I am not going to turn around and run to the nearest church and change my religion. Because it's not an issue. Some human beings are good, some human beings are less good. I have absolutely no reason to assume that the reason this person is good is because he has become what it is that God has given into the world, or the reason that this person is bad is because he has become what it is that God has given to the world. However, says the Rambam, in the event that an individual indeed can be seen in that fashion, can be seen in the light of being a complete reflection of the totality of the relevance of the mitzvahs, in that there is nothing in this individual's life that is not patterned directly according to the Torah, and there is nothing in this individual's life that could be more important to him than being what it is that a person must be in terms of the Torah, and yet nonetheless acts in such a fashion as to show us that he is not successful in terms of human life, human relationships, and what it is that human achievement is capable of, such a person is Mechalel et Hashem. So there are two ways of addressing reality, yes. Either the specific mitzvah, which is a reality, or the totality of my expression, which may also be a reality on condition that I am a Chacham Gadol and a Mefursim b'Chassidut, famous for my Chassidut. Yes, then I have indeed been Michalel or Mikadesh. I have made the shame more present or less present. I have shown that the shame's relevance is more there, less there. That is Kiddush HaFila. The fact that I do not act as a very good public relations agent for God, and that people look at me and they don't feel attracted, or they may even feel turned off, that's not my problem. That's their problem. There's no reason for them to think that I am anything other than a human being doing mitzvot. There's no way that they could have known that I am a human being being mitzvot. Therefore, when the Rambam lists the requirements for kapora, it's not the fact that Chilul Hashem out of the context of Avera of an Adam Gadol before Samba Chassidut does not require death in order to achieve Kapara. It's just that the Rambam is trying to clarify the issue is not the notion of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem being greater, more chamur than an Isser Karet or an Isser Skila. That's not the point. The point instead is a much deeper one. Every time that an individual does teshuvah, he is doing teshuvah on the way in which he relates to the will of Hashem, not on the fact that he did the Avera on the Ratzon Hashem, not on the fact that he has ignored the Ratzon Hashem. The proof of that is that although teshuvah must address Averot, as the Rambam says clearly in Yochot Teshuvah, the only way one can be mitnachem al she'avar, one can come to fully reconstitute his vision on the fact that he had done the Avera, qua Avera, says the Rambam in 2:2 of Yilchot Teshuvah, is by first doing Teshuvah on the Chet, that is to say, on the essence of the evil, and only then coming to deal with the Avera. Only then, says the Rambam, can he be Nachem al She'avar, which does not mean on the past, not al Ha'avar, but rather al She'avar, on the fact that he had been over. The proof, says the Rambam, is the Pasuk itself. It says, Acharei Shuvi Nichamti. Only after doing Shuva from my Chet did I come to Nichum. Nichum being a new vision of reality, of Ratzon Hashem, says the Rambam. Well, if that is the case, then the various levels of Kapara that are demanded of us in Aleph Dalet of Yilchot Teshuvah relate to the extent that my perversion of vision has become expressed in reality. If I haven't done something out of perverse vision, then it is sufficient to do Teshuvah because nothing has become actualized. If I have acted out of perverse vision, then I require an actual kapara, such as Yom HaKippurim. If I have existentially changed and am no longer capable of life because of doing an Isur Karet or Mitah, then I require my teshuva to become actualized in the course of life events that cause me pain and that force me to deal with reality. But if what it is that I have done has also become externalized, visibly externalized, and I was Mechalel Hashem as it exists in the world outside of myself, my very existence becomes now a proof that alternative realities are practical. And in that sense, the reality of God's nichbad v'nora has been destroyed. I have been mechalel et Hashem. There is no way that I can change that through an external change. And the internal change is only going to address the internal perversity. Am I doing all of the mitzvahs in the world? Am I being the finest person in the world from this moment on? Has nothing to do, according to the Rambam, with the fact that people have seen how irrelevant the fact of Hashem's Ratzon is to me, and no matter how many mitzvot I will do in the future, that has nothing to do with my addressing the past. Therefore, says the Rambam, a person could be Mishanet Ma'asav Kulam L'Tova. He could change all of his actions for the better and still never have performed Teshuvah. So that the Teshuvah consists of a reorganization of an individual's vision so that it is now in exactly the same reality as God's is. And it's fascinating. The Rambam is careful to utilize the two different Lashonot, Lifnei Hashem and Lifnei Ha'el, where the Rambam is discussing the din of vidui, of confession after a person has already done Teshuvah from his chet. He talks about speaking in front of God. But where the Rambam is talking about the approach that a person has who desires to be able to achieve this tikkun, this change, he talks about liyot hashav tzoek lifnei Hashem heishin mem. Why? Because the only thing that I can address is the expression in reality of his name, which I know I am missing, and cry out and say, I am sick, I need to be able to get back in. Help me get back in. There I cannot speak to Hashem yet. The more that I address the reality of his shame, the closer it is that I can come to beginning to address the perversions inside myself. Therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of Yira and Ahava, says the Rambam, the way to come to the mitzvah of loving and fearing the God himself is by recognizing the extent of his shame. How does one come to extend to recognize the reality, the relevance of God's existence? Says the Rambam, look around you for heaven's sakes. Do you not see in the world as it is, in the simple reality around you? That has to be where you begin to discuss reality. If you don't care enough to look at a grain of sand, if you have no interest of knowing why there is, what it means to say that there is gravity, or that planets revolve, or that the world is in any fashion the way that we find it, it makes no difference to you. Then what that means is that you believe that creation does not accurately reflect God's existence. It would be foolish for such an individual who cannot even care about the most fundamental things that a child is interested in around himself to pretend that then he is approaching the mitzvahs of Hashem and the Torah of Hashem as anything other than a religious exercise which is totally irrelevant to human life. It would be no more meaningful than the Catholic who is acting very, very full of love and concern for his fellow human beings. What does it prove? That he has an analog reality which has some similarities, or perhaps many similarities, to Judaism. But so what? If God can tell the individual who doesn't do teshuva, according to the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchot Teshuva, that who asked you to trample my yard and bring me korbanos? And the person can't come back and say, but God, you said we're supposed to bring sacrifices. I read it in the holy book. So what does it mean? It means that God says, yes, I told people that are part of bringing sacrifices to me in my dimensions with my reality, absolutely. But you aren't doing that at all. You are living your reality with your religion, which happens to have many things in common with mine, but that doesn't make it meaningful to me or real to me. And as far as I'm concerned, you're walking on my turf and get out of here. Even more so, says the Rambam, you can sit and pray to God. He doesn't listen. Worse, says Rav Sadia Gaon, that if an individual does not do teshuva and he prays to Hashem, his tefillah is a toeva. It's an abomination. It is a sin. It isn't something that gets him closer to God. God isn't interested in being our psychiatrist. So because we suffer from pangs of conscience, therefore we should come to him and say, God, we're feeling very sad about what we did because we like you to like us. His response obviously is, go get yourself a doctor. As far as I'm concerned, suffer. You don't care about my existence. Its reality means nothing to you. Mashal ma davar domeh. If you have a father who dresses a child that has just run across the street, was just missed by a car, the father hears the screech of brakes, sees his child a centimeter away from the bumper of the car, turns around and grabs him and screams at the top of his lungs, red in the face, did I not tell you to cross the street unless you see before? And the child is white. The same father would have taken the kid and grabbed him on another occasion and said, did I not tell you to eat a candy bar before you eat supper? The kid would have had his father see a psychiatrist. I mean, that type of reaction doesn't really make sense under the circumstances. What's the difference? In terms of the Avera, in terms of ignoring the will of the father, it's precisely the same, is it not? The difference is that in one of the cases, the will of the father is expressed as a clear-cut reality. I told you not to cross the street, fool, because you're going to get run over and killed. Not because I don't want you to cross the street. Whereas in the other case, it isn't really all that important whether I eat the candy bar or not before dinner. This is precisely the same as when it comes to Ratzon Hashem. I cannot address the Ratzon Hashem if I do not see its relevance. It means nothing to me. I can say, God, you know, after all, you are God, and I should have listened to you because you have the right to tell me what you want. And if you asked me to bring you a cup of coffee, I should have brought you a cup of coffee, and I apologize. Obviously, that is debasing the will of God. A cup of coffee? A cup of coffee? I was telling you not to get killed when you went across the street. So on that level, the teshuva is only possible once I recognize the shame agadol v'anichbad. If I have no interest in his reality, I have no interest in his will. And this indeed is what the Rambam means by Shvuat Sheker. Utilizing the name of God to back up a lie is precisely the issue of Chilul Hashem. His existence to me is irrelevant. His presence is irrelevant. I live a lie and I put his name all over it. I call myself a Ben Terah. I call myself a Shemer Mitzvahs. And I live a lie because I really have absolutely no concern for the relevance of the Ratzon Hashem. My concern is myself, the significance of my life, the fulfillment of my life, and so on and so forth. All things which Hashem's response to is, if you need me for that, I'm not there. Don't bother praying, I'm not listening. Don't bother doing mitzvahs, as the Rambam says, I'm ripping them up in your face and throwing them at you. Leave me alone and stop trampling my base of medrash. I'm not interested in hearing your songs on Shabbos. I'm not interested in hearing your prayers. I'm not interested in hearing your pietisms. I'm not interested in looking at all the wonderful mitzvahs that you do and the tzedakah that you give. It all means garbage. You might as well be doing it as a Catholic for all that has relationship to me. Therefore, underlying issue over here is reality versus non-reality. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, the only way in which it is possible for you to attain this sense of nichbad and nora, the only way for you to come finally to yira, is to completely relate as your own reality. Alev ladat, elznaim lishmoa. What it is that you're understanding, what it is that you're seeing, what it is that you're hearing, is not your own little dimension. It's what's really there. And it's not an intellectual awareness that, oh gosh, I should have said atatitain, after all you can. I should have seen it as if I was looking at something staring me in the face. What's wrong with you? Don't you want to have the connection? Must it be that you refuse connection to God because you don't want to recognize how much you owe Him? Then you will never, ever be happy. And this, indeed, answers a long-standing problem that many of the Mefarshim address. The problem is simply this. If we have a mitzvah of Ahava and Yirah, and if, in Yilchot Yisodei HaTorah, a person can only reach the level of Yirah after he's already come to that which he is Ohev. Because to be Ohev, it's enough to study science and God's actions in history. But to be a Yoreh, one must analyze the details of those things and be Mechashev in their implications, says the Rambam. And why is it that the Rambam says, as we mentioned before, in the 10th parak of Yilchot Teshuvah, that a person should never do the mitzvahs out of Yirah? He must only do the mitzvahs out of Ahava. And so there's all types of answers about different levels of Yirah, different levels of Ahava, Yirah of sin, Yirah of Aromamus, and so on, which really don't hold up in the Rambam at all. Although this isn't the place to discuss it. The real answer, I believe, is very straightforward and easily understood, and it's obvious. The real answer is simply this. All that the Rambam is saying is that Yira is a perception. But what it is that I do about that perception, that has to come out of Ahava. And that's precisely what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here. I'm demanding of you to do these mitzvahs and refrain from these averos out of the recognition of how much it matters to you. Out of love, out of concern, out of care, out of an immense sense of fulfillment at the opportunity of being able to live an existence in which these things are the ultimate realities. And how can you possibly come to such a level? only by learning to see how real, how relevant the presence of Hashem is in the world. And that is Birat Hashem HaNechbad, this weighty, this present, this Neira, this awesomely there. Shame is. It's the shame that's important. It's the recognition of His presence and His relevance and how the Bria is expressing Him in toto. That is how you can come to be Obek Misimcha Umituv Levav. Without that, you have no Lev Ladat. You know only what it is in your own small, non-existent, percepts reality. Without that, yes, you're seeing, but what you see has nothing to do with reality. Yes, you're hearing, but everything that you hear is being transformed by your brain into a further level of involvement in your own preconceived notions and prejudices about how to view a reality that isn't there at all. Therefore, you will never come to teshuva. You will never come to happiness. You will never come to truly appreciating and enjoying anything at all. Hakara tova, simcha, avodah is forever beyond you. Thus, the demands of this Brit are in fact reflected in everything that has happened to us from the Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash HaShini, and clearly represents everything that needs to happen to us in order to have a Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, in order to have a third temple. We must come to the point where we transcend the old ideas of piety, of religion, of symbolism, of ritual, and recognize that it is only in the total reality of the presence of those things, not the way in which I can come to the Kotel HaMa'arovi for an emotional high, but rather to recognize that there is no emotional high to be had from anything but a recognition of everything that is involved in a destroyed Beit HaMikdash. And so on and so forth, through every one of the symbols of our lives, whether it be personal in terms of our simchas, in terms of our avelos, Rahmana Litzlan, or whether it be national in terms of the building of Eretz Yisrael, or the building of Yerushalayim, or the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the beauties and the ugliness, all of these things are not ends. They are all part of what must be a reality that I must create for myself. I must invest in it in order to be able to achieve the reality that should have been ours by virtue of our initial innocence, and which was destroyed forever by the Ma'asim of the Egel HaZahav and by every Aver that has taken place since. It is only in being able to be a Baal Teshuva, in recognizing that completed, continuous, conscious recreation of Pi Torah, completely in touch with the relevance of every single word of the mitzvot as they appear in the Sefer HaTorah HaZot, as Moshe Rabbeinu said. Only that is to actually recognize reality. And that if I do not have a sense of the relevance, I do not have a sense of the way that God is expressed, to me science means nothing, history means nothing, never can I reach a stage of being able to look at the Torah as a reality at all.